You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
A couple of episodes ago, I spoke with the finalists of RuPaul's Drag Race about the impact the show has had on drag. Well, what's clear is the one huge impact from the reality competition series is the sheer visibility of drag, both in our lives and on our TVs. But the one thing Drag Race doesn't show is what's going on in the local communities and in the local drag scenes. You know, it's one thing to show a group of professional drag queens in a studio in Hollywood competing against each other, but it's a wholly other thing to show the reality of drag in real-world America. I'm talking about the local scenes, you know, what they're like, the opposition they sometimes face, and ultimately, the need for safe spaces for people in certain communities to not only feel safe, but also thrive. That's where HBO Max's series We're Here comes in. The premise is simple. Famous drag queens go to small towns and put on a drag show featuring local talent. But the heart of it goes so much deeper than that. Because on the series, you hear stories you're not hearing anywhere else. You might have heard about some city passing some law banning drag, but you rarely hear the voices of the people most impacted by that law. You may know about the gay bar in some local community that's popular, but you never hear the stories about the people whose literal lives were saved by the existence of that bar. Created by Stephen Warren and Johnny Ingram and directed by Peter LaGreco, We're Here is unlike any other show you'll see on television about drag, because it features stories you literally won't hear anywhere else. And now the series is entering its fourth season with a whole new set of drag talent hosting. I'm going to be speaking on today's episode with the behind-the-scenes talent, Peter, Stephen, and Johnny, about We're Here and why it's so needed right now. And then I will be speaking with two of the new hosts of this new season, Latrice Royale and Sasha Velour, who you may know from that little show called RuPaul's Drag Race, about what they saw out there on the road and the stories that captured their hearts. So let's start things off with Stephen Warren, Johnny Ingram, and Peter LaGreco. I guess I'll just go around the line so people put the voices with the names. Peter, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Johnny, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, and Steve.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Here I am.
So the new season, I mean, we're four seasons in, and what I think makes the show so interesting is that even though we're four seasons in, it still feels like a new show, which is something that you kind of crave for, I think, any show. You always wanted to have that energy of newness to it. So I wanted to know, what do you think it is about this show that continually makes it feel fresh?
Well, thank you. It's a really great question. And I love your nails, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You know, We're Here has multiple meanings. And I think we really, really want to meet the moment. I think in very much in this literal sense, the present tense of We're Here in this moment is how we've even since the very beginning in the first season. It was a COVID season towards the end. We were, I think, one of the very first episodes to film, wow, edit, and finish in from the comfort of our very own homes. And it was, you know, thanks to Peter and our team, our production team at IPC, to have the technology that we just were able to do that, and not to mention, you know, make something incredibly emotional. I think it was a shared experience that we were all really needed to know that we're all in this together. And now, you know, fast forward, you know, four seasons later, we're again in a much critical flashpoint of what's happening across the country. And I think it was very important to us to meet that moment, very much how it relates to the queer community, but also how it is affecting, you know, everyone, from whether or not you live in a small town or if you live in on the coast. These bills and these ordinances are affecting everyone in the community. And it's important that we share these stories, not just these news headlines. We're grateful that, that these stories are being told everywhere, but how do they make you feel? How are they truly affecting people? And that's why we really felt the need to meet this moment head on.
I also feel that there's an urgency now that existed in smaller parts over the previous years. But right now we're living at a time that's a huge turning point, I think, in our culture, in civil rights, in gay rights, and queer rights, and that we felt this responsibility to be able to document what's going on in the world, because people really don't know. You can be sitting home. There's so much that's cluttering all of our lives. You don't realize when you see, oh, there's an article that, how we wound up going to Tennessee, that there's a town that just banned Pride, which you think, banning Pride, that feels like 1930s. What is going on? Mm-hmm. And that, the urgency. So we get there and that we realize there are so many people's lives at stake. Their psyches are at stake. Everything is at stake. So this year, that's, I think, how we're completely focused of really telling the story about what is going on in the United States right now, not just in New York and Los Angeles, but in the broader sense.
Yeah, it also kind of makes me think, like, I'd like to see you try to stop my pride. Like, I'd like to see, go ahead. We'll still, homosexuals gather. We're gatherers. We will have pride wherever we need to have pride, even if they don't allow it. I'll turn a Denny's into a pride parade if I need to, basically.
Look what happened, in Marksville, when, we wound up, it's like, the gays were too scared, OKEQ was too scared to really even gather and made some,
OKEQ Bartlesville, to be very specific. I mean, OKEQ has been very, generous and has made a lot of change in Oklahoma, I think, in particular. But what we're noticing is how this rhetoric is pushing people back and making some folks feel, nervous. Not everyone is able to stand up to hate. And, but someone who is four fabulous superstar drag queens who know how to take this on. They know when to engage. They know when to take a step back. And I think that is really important to see these leaders and how they respond and know when, when to push and when to just let people be. I think that Peter in particular has been really great at finding folks, of all types, some that are willing to have conversations and a dialogue, and some that are just screaming. And I think it's important to see that. So we know, that they're really loud, but they're a loud minority. Yeah. And when you actually can share and visibly see that, love conquers hate, and they're that moment, we need to see that right now. And I think that especially knowing the difference of when to engage and when not to.
Yeah, Peter, how do you do that? Because that's one of the things that I think is so fascinating, that we live in a world that's like so focused on social media, and social media is usually pockets of, I'll just say it, little trolls that are very loud, and their voices they can seem overwhelming. But in reality, they're just the crazies in the corner a lot of times. They're not the actual full store. Like, it's not the whole thing. So how do you find the, I hate to use a Fox News term, but fair and balanced, like, people out there who are willing to engage in sometimes complicated conversations?
Well, I mean, I think to go back to your first question, I mean, that's certainly been a process for us, right? And I think that's been one of the ways in which we've hopefully been able to evolve the show, and I think have made a big leap in evolving the show in this last season. But it's always been a matter of, which at first for me, frankly, was much more surprising, and over time became much more of a like expectation of like, trying to reach out to, and we have wonderful outreach people we work with who do this, to, via social media, via any personal connections they might have that might lead you to a certain area, to find people who identify as LGBTQ and hear from them about their experience, identify local queer organizations that really are kind of creating that one beachhead for community in whatever place we're looking at. And frankly, to also look at places where conflict has occurred, you know, where you hear a story of law enforcement or a religious group or just some person who's hateful really creating a difficult situation or something traumatic happening. And, you know, it's a game of telephone where, you know, you reach out, talk to lots of people, and, you know, we come at it from a very impartial place. You know, we want everyone to feel as if there's a story or their voice matters, and we want to hear their story. And the reality, in terms of involving the show, has also been an interesting one, in that, you know, the queer community in a lot of places where we've gone has been very felt empowered and interested in expressing those opinions to us. And where we found a really hard time was in getting us as liberal media, or whatever you want to call it, getting people who have the opposing voice to actually say something meaningful, to actually engage in a way that's at all substantial. And I think there's been an ongoing process for us that has led us to this fourth season, where it was a very conscious decision to stay in some place for longer. Because I think a lot of us from pretty early on had the instinct that, like, well, if we land in a location and we spend more time there, we're going to test the patience of folks who don't want our drag queens, who don't want us there. And they're going to feel a little bit more compelled to come out of the shadows and not ignore us, but actually engage. And, you know, I think that's been a big evolution of the show to see that happen.
Well, that's the other thing, too, that I think is so interesting. You know, the show is led by four fantastic queens that so many people that are recognizable and so many people know. But I always say this because, I mean, I work in media. I have lots of friends that were on Drag Race. I have, you know, there's a difference between being gay famous and famous famous. And there's like, there's the pockets of the world out there that, sure, these are superstars who have millions of followers on Instagram. But the person in Topeka, Kansas, they're not aware of how famous. Right. And when this person goes somewhere in Los Angeles, it's a big deal. And so how do you convey to some people in these small towns, like, this is a big deal, this is something we need to start talking about? Because I feel like to them, it's a niche issue. It's a side issue that the conversation, they're not having a lot of those conversations. So how do you convey to them that it's important, you know?
I mean, I'll let Johnny and Steve speak to this, but very briefly, like, I think what we do from an outreach standpoint is we really don't ask them or telegraph that ahead of time. And then what'll end up happening is, like, they'll meet their drag mom, or they'll meet the queen if they're not a drag kid, be some other type of interaction. And then they'll look them up and they'll go, like, wait a second, this person's really famous in a certain realm.
Yeah.
And then they'll have kind of interaction. I mean, I think we all sort of loved it when in Del Rio, Texas, in the second season, Bob with a kid SIL, and he had no idea who she was, like, none.
Yeah,
we want the queens to have a real experience, which I think has been part of what's unique about the show, too. And, you know, represents a lot of courage and conviction on the part of the queens, both our prior ones, as well as, you know, Jade, Sasha, Priyanka, and Latrice. I mean, give them a tremendous amount of credit for that, because they're walking in kind of clean slate, not knowing, is this person going to be a huge fan? Is this person going to not know who I am? You know, and kind of letting the chips fall where they may, which I think is kind of what's fun and natural. Makes it more authentic as an interaction.
There was one really funny moment that didn't make it into, we wound up cutting, but it was hilarious this season, where the queens are meeting John from Oklahoma for the
first time. No, that's in there. That's in there.
Is it? And he says, it is. Yeah. But Johnny, you say, did you notice that? Then he pretends, John says to, like, Sasha and I think Priyanka, oh, are you the glam squad? You know, it's like, it was very funny.
I mean, like you said, this celebrity drag persona is a very new thing. And I think I'm from Tennessee, and I grew up there, and I left to live my authentic life because I just couldn't feel that I could do that on the ground there. And when I left, I ended up moving to Chicago, and I worked in drag bars. And, you know,
we should talk about that. I worked in Chicago drag bars too.
I actually helped open Kit Kat Lounge, which is still open today.
Yes, okay.
And I worked with Calpurnia Adams, who's very famous drag, who I love, who's also from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can sidebar that for another time. Yeah. But, you know, I got to really know the drag community, but also more importantly, my family, who, you know, I was just coming out to and helping understand what it was like to be a gay man. What would just break down all the barriers was I brought my mom to the Kit Kat Lounge, and she got to experience drag at a very high level. Wasn't the celebrity level yet, but at that time, that was about as great as it could get. And we just started talking. You know, a lot of it, I think, was not, you know, was things I wasn't comfortable, bringing up the conversation. Mm-hmm. Some things she may not have been uncomfortable bringing up that conversation. But what really was happening was a dialogue, because it's such a spectacle. It's so fun and, mm-hmm. and unhinged. And we had a blast. And I think that it, in part, is part of how that drag community has now even become more of a spectacle. And the art form is becoming, you know, I think it's coming full circle, where it started up, you know, it started in theater, and now it's kind of people are bringing this expression. How can we now tell our own stories through this art form? And it's become ours, you know,
definitely.
No one can take it away from us. But what it does is it does ignite those conversations. And I think instead of bringing my family to the city, it's time now, especially now, to bring that celebrity to the people. So they can experience it and meet a drag queen versus hearing online or watching some, misinformation somewhere they found or someone shared about our community. So they can actually, if they're willing to have a conversation, that's what this is about.
Definitely. Well, I also want to know, I mean, because this season, there are a lot of changes to the season. I mean, the hosts are all very different. And so how do you think people will process, I mean, to me, it's like another night at a drag bar. But like, how do you think people will process the changes with the hosts of the season? You know what I mean?
I think that the first couple minutes, you're like, oh, you know, this is different. Very, very early on, you just start, because we made a very conscious effort to be able to introduce the new queens as fully formed individuals. And we get to know them very quickly, their, you know, their histories. And I think that it becomes something where you realize, because we describe where Here's Family is expanding. We are trying to meet the moment, and that we've been able to tell. We've had three incredible superstar drag queens for the first three seasons who were able to tell their stories. And now it's time for others to inherit that mantle. And that I think they do it almost from the first moment, where it just becomes natural. And then you just go along for the ride.
Yeah.
I mean, it's emotional. We all get attached to our, you know, our favorite artist. I mean, we love drag, and I mean, we love all aspects of drag. And I think what we were able to accomplish in the first three seasons, in particular, with respect to leaning in and creating a show when the world was shutting down, and us actually going out into that world, was really tricky. And we, you know, our cast was amazing and helping us achieve that, and to, you know, really connect with people, you know, mm-hmm. authentically. And, you know, we really wanted this show, and this show, you know, there are lots of really great competition drag formats out there that we love and watch, and they're entertaining and they bring us joy, especially on a bad day. But this particular show is the point of view of, it's a maternal point of view, that drag mother that takes you under their wing and helps you understand not only your own personal individuality, but maybe celebrating some of those things that you just can't shake off.
Yeah.
And that was so important to us to find in the new cast, was, you know, and there are a lot of really wonderful drag performers that have this quality, that are just able to connect to you in a very, very special way, but that are also vulnerable enough to give you a piece of them in exchange, so that you know that you're not alone, mm-hmm. and you know that, you know, that we are a community and we can celebrate, you know, our differences. Cause I think that's really what's happening across the country. In particular, the show isn't just for, you know, the LGBT community. We want everyone to watch, cause this is a human rights issue. This is anyone who is struggling with a little piece of themselves can relate to the show and how to celebrate some of those things we just can't shake off. And we think this cast in particular, these four queens, I mean, we interviewed a lot of wonderful, talented drag performers that I think we can continue. I think there's lots more, you know, really amazing talent out there, but these specific ones were really meeting the moment. And I think, and I hope that we've done a great job in, you know, letting you get to know them, also them sharing their, you know, maternal side, that point of view.
Definitely. Well, I mean, I also just wanted to, like, I mean, I'll wrap things up by just saying that, like, I mean, even though the show is so, I think a lot of focus sometimes in the conversation around We Are Here is that, and rightfully so, it's going to help people. It's going to change people's minds. It's going to lead to good conversations. But also, too, it's just a really fun show. It's a fun, bright, happy, good, therapeutic experience to just enjoy your hour of that moment and then go on with your day. So like, I think that's a thing that I'm looking forward to speaking with Sasha and Latrice later on about, that, that it is also just a lot of joy, because that for me, that's why I go to a drag show, is to have a lot of joy. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's the point of going to a drag show. It's like, you know, you have a bad day, shitty day at work, your parents said something that offended you, whatever it is, you go out to a drag bar and it suddenly just like, just goes. I mean, that is, that's drag.
Yeah.
I mean,
was there a moment in this season, either Tennessee or Oklahoma, in the drag numbers where you were just, oh shit, that is fun. I never expected
that. Well, of course. Yes. And that's what's so amazing about the show, I think, is that the show gives you, and those moments in when the actual drag shows, drag performances happen in the show, it gives you that feeling you get at a drag bar when like something amazing happens. You know what I mean? When someone does even the stupidest little thing, because they don't have the production that you guys have, but like the stupidest little thing, and it just gives you that excitement that then you go and you talk to your friends about it for a week afterwards. And that's what those elements bring, I think, to viewers who frankly sometimes don't have access to bars where drag is happening. So it's giving them an outlet in that way, I think.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it is very, and I talk to Peter, sometimes I feel like he just does so much. He really does capture that in the way, those nuance, the mistakes, the imperfect, you know, things that happen in the drag show, which are also, I mean, that's part of it. That's, you know, it doesn't have to be all wrapped up in a perfect little bow.
Yeah.
Although Sasha is fierce in this season. Yes. And I have to say, is not as actually perfect, but at the same time, it is.
She's annoyingly perfect. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Okay, so this new season is new in many ways, including with the hosts. This season features Jada Essence Hall, Priyanka, Sasha Velour, and Latrice Royale, all of whom rose to fame on RuPaul's Drag Race. What I love about the two drag artists I'm speaking with today, Latrice and Sasha, is how different they are. Latrice, you know from the fourth season of RuPaul's Drag Race and the first and fourth season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. I mean, she's that good. She had to be on All-Stars twice. Hailing from Florida, Latrice is all glamour with an insane presence. With elements of both old school drag mixed with a nod to modern drag, Latrice comes at you with all of her heart. As for Sasha, well, she won her season of Drag Race and has gone on to be a force not only in the drag world, but also in the world of art. Her drag is glamorous, but also has an edge to it, which fits where she comes from, her local scene of Brooklyn, New York. These two couldn't be more different, and yet it works, especially with their interactions with people out there in small town America. I mean, just seeing both of these people in small towns is surprising, and in a weird way, it makes people open up to them in a way that they probably aren't usually able to do. It's fascinating to watch, and it was really great chatting with them. I want to start with Latrice and just ask you, with everything that's happening in the world of drag and some of the anti-drag laws that are happening right now, why do you think We're Here is so vital in this moment?
It is definitely the spotlight on and mirror of our country right now. It is shining light on a demographic that a lot of us in different areas of the country that are maybe from LA or, you know, that can't identify with these rural areas, let them know that this is where it starts. This is where the wildfire starts and the trauma and drama starts. And meeting the opposition head on and going straight to the source is so important. This is where we get to, like, dig deep and get to the root of it and dispel the myths and the misinformation and all the lies and deceit. And so that's why We're Here is so important, because my sister right here going to hit you with the hard facts and let you know. When she says, no, actually, you already know.
you're an actually queen. I'm also an actually person as well, I have to admit. Sasha, do you want to respond to anything? Do you want to add anything to that?
I've been blaming Latrice for this statement all day, but, you know, when she said you don't want to pick a fight with a drag queen because we do not back down in the face of injustice and misinformation, that was the truth. I guess I discovered a spicier side of myself when faced with lies of quicker thinking than I thought I was capable of. And, you know, I try to appeal to people's reason. Mm-hmm. Latrice speaks to their heart. Some of these people didn't have a bit of either. And so really wanted nothing to do with any conversation with us.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep trying because, like, that's what a conversation takes. Well, reason and heart.
That's what I wanted to ask you. So how do you think some of the conversations and some of the stories told on We're Here will lead to, I mean, when you're not there, because, you know, everyone who's not a drag queen is a little intimidated in the presence of a drag queen because, you know, it's drag, it's big, it's bigger than life, all the things. So how do you hope people will have conversations after y'all leave town?
Well, hopefully they will have the hard conversations and the tough conversations and know that there's no pride in backing down and standing mm-hmm. down. Like, that is the opposite of what your organization is. You know, you are supposed to be the voice of a community, then you have to be forthright and outgoing and in the front lines, you know, not cowering in the corner. And so I hope that leaving them would leave them with that drive mm-hmm. and motivation and courage that they know they can do it mm-hmm. without it. And that is going to take them to continue without it.
Yeah. Sasha?
I think like for some of them, it was a surprise to discover how much support there was in the community. Mm-hmm. If you organize and you really like are kind of a little intense about spreading the word and telling people they have to show up to support drag, they will rally. And I think like even following what happened in Tennessee mm-hmm. after we left, the continued attempts to like have more drag at Pride, to have a continued drag show in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. Getting to see that like showed me maybe one drag show, one night of a really good drag show can give people a bit of optimism and a bit of hope that keeps things moving, keeps the foot on the pedal.
Definitely. I was telling the creators earlier that, like, you know, when you try to ban Pride, you can't, I mean, homosexuals will turn, or queer people in general will turn Pride in any situation. I'll turn, like I told them, I'll make Denny's into a Pride parade if I have to. Like, I'll do, we'll do whatever we have to do for that grand slam. Right. You know what I'm saying? So
that's right. They do. My drag daughter does make Waffle House a Pride parade every night after the gig.
Well, Latrice, I wanted to ask you, you're a queen of presence. You know, everyone knows especially when you're in full drag, you are in the room and you dominate the room. And that's what's so powerful about your drag. And I wanted to know if you were ever intimidated by in some of the spaces that, you know, we're here forces you to go to sometimes. Were you ever intimidated by some of these communities? Did you ever feel like an outsider ever?
I mean, I completely, when we went into the biker bar. That was the only time I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, boy, you know. But that was quickly like laid to rest when they were so welcoming and so cool, you know. So I learned a lesson in that, you know, don't judge a book by its cover situation. Just because they look all tough and wear leather, I mean, you wear leather, you know, I could see, but just, you
leather, darling.
Yeah,
vegan leather.
I also feel like we learn from Pee Wee's Big Adventure that a biker bar actually can be very friendly.
Very friendly.
Yes. We should have known.
Yeah. What about you, Sasha? Was there ever any intimidation or uneasiness in some of the spaces you went to?
I feel like we've all gotten to a place where we refuse to feel that. Mm-hmm. Like so much of our lives were that, and I guess they could still be because we don't look like we fit in a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But I've learned you can make a home anywhere. All you need is just a couple people like you and those exist everywhere in the world, mm-hmm. and you got a community. And if you got a community, you can do all kinds of things. And I think we lived that every day in surprising places. And so, no, like, I'm not going to give in to that fear. That's what other people want.
I like that. Well, there are a lot of changes this season, of course, with the hosts of the show. But the show still, and I was telling them earlier, I think the mark of a good show is that when it still feels like it's new, when it still feels like it's a new show, even though it's in its fourth season. And We're Here definitely has, now, not just because of the four of you, but just the general vibe of the show. It always does kind of feel fresh and new. And I wanted to get your responses to, what do you think the four of you, but you two and specifically, bring to this new iteration of We're Here? So, Latrice, let's start with you.
Well, because of the unique perspective that we each possess, it lends a blend that is really harmonious and works well together. Like, we play off each other really well with our approach to situations. You know, Priyanka is very inquisitive, and she asks a lot of great questions. And then when we get really horrible answers, we have Sasha, who's very cerebral and going to hit them with the hardcore facts. And then there's me trying to make sense of it all. And I'm like, well, but how, like, the heart of this all just doesn't make sense. Like, how can you feel this way when you know that it's wrong? Yeah. And so, it's a good blend. And I feel like that's why the show feels fresh. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of trying to not breathe new life, so to speak, but just expand the lungs, I guess, if you will, and help this grow.
Yeah,
because we have to meet the show. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Sasha?
I would also add, like, Latrice is the greatest lip sync artist I ever witnessed, and truly has taught, like, so many of us, like, what a powerhouse performance in drag looks like. And I think having that knowledge, but also, like, with the openness of, like, each person's drag should be their own, it really is exciting, because I think, like, there's a level of, like, drag performance this season that feels fresh to me, mm-hmm. to watch. Yeah. And I have my own style, and Priyanka is, like, a pop superstar, mm-hmm. and Jada is, like, such a high energy talent, but with so much heart and so genuine with her connections. I think we all do drag a little differently than the previous group, and it's all valid, mm-hmm. but we love variety.
Yeah.
Not Bob. Bob's drag is not Bob.
Make sure you put that in here.
I will. Don't worry. No, it is interesting, because, like, when I mean, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I come, I mean, Latrice's drag is definitely the drag I grew up with and the bars I went to. And that was sort of the queens that I first grabbed. Now I live in Los Angeles, and it's a whole plethora of a buffet of drag. And in New York too, I lived in New York for a long time. Again, plethora of drag. So, like, when you are going to these smaller towns that maybe have only ever seen one type of a drag queen, and maybe they've only ever seen RuPaul, which is a good possibility. Because I feel like everyone in the world, even, like, Vladimir Putin, has seen RuPaul. Like, everyone knows, RuPaul. But how do you, especially, and this is probably more for Sasha, since your drag is very, I would say, New York artist based, like, it's a very much a driven type of drag. How do you find sort of the relatability with your drag with crowds that your drag is very foreign to them, you know?
See, I'm a very old school drag queen. I'm just hideous, and this is all I can pull off. I have a reverence for all the things that drag is. I just believe each person needs to bring their own unique references. Like, none of us should be embodying a cliche of what drag's all about. That's so the opposite of what this whole art and our community stands for. It's all about being true to yourself, mm-hmm. and fulfilling your own fantasies. Mm. And I guess mine tend to be, you know, whatever they are, but for each, a little Nosferatu, a little tribute to my mom and all of her discoveries of mm-hmm. what being a woman meant to her. Mm-hmm. And I just tried to like kind of meet each of my drag kids like where they were mm-hmm. and make sure that the drag that they did and that I got to do alongside them
yeah.
felt right to them.
Yeah.
And if it did, then it was a success.
Wonderful.
I can do anything.
You can do anything. Anything. Well, Latrice, I always, whenever there's shows like this, I feel like we, or at least I feel like sometimes when straight people get attached to or talk about a show like this, I have found they often go in the, you know, inspirational, it gets better, like kumbaya direction, because they want to really, you know, feel good about loving a show like this, which I support. I fully support. But I'm also like, the show is fun. There's glitter. There's fun. There's humor. There's life. It's not all a therapy session, y'all. It is actually fun.
Right.
And so I wanted to know what from this season, what's a moment that stands out to you or an experience that stands out to you that was just pure fun?
Come on. Like us in like looking at Sasha in this man drag king look with this full like full muscle man, it was so over the top ridiculous. And you know, me looking like Biggie Smalls, like going duck hunting, like I was so out of my element. But at Priyanka, I don't know what she was trying to go for.
It was like Joe Dirt, but as gay as possible.
Which is already pretty gay.
Yeah.
Like, that for me was the most fun because we were just ridiculous and we knew we were.
Yeah.
But that's the extreme that, you know, sometimes you have to go to the show, mm-hmm. the humor, and like that it's not so serious all the time. It's not that deep. Like, you can make a mockery out of gender, like this is the gender norm, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we look ridiculous. That doesn't fit us. That's not who we are.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, totally. What about you, Sasha? Does anything stand out to you?
I do have to agree with that. It's pretty magical. The way everyone just like, they were clinging to Latrice. Mm. Like,
it was weird.
They were obsessed. They couldn't stop touching you. You could have picked up every woman and maybe some of the men in that biker bar. Meanwhile, my body was like squelching with every move I made. It was so hot and I'm just in full silicone.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. And then every second we spent with John, who is Priyanka's drag daughter, was just a riot. The screaming, and she just was so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And
a lot of energy.
Really, really fun energy.
Speaking of energy, the other thing too, one of the things that I love about, I mean, this is the one thing, out of everything that is predictable about entertainment, the show is not necessarily predictable, but the one predictable thing that does happen in this show is there will be a great drag show at the end of every episode. That is like a guaranteed thing. You might have some tears, it might not have, whatever, all the things might happen, but there's going to be a great show. And to me, I mean, for me, the power of a drag show at a bar, it is my discounted therapy. It is my relief. It is my inspiration. It's my hope for the week. It's my hope. It's all of the things, you know. And I wanted to.
It's church.
It's church in a lot of ways. It really is. And
not a religion.
Yes, not a religion, but it's church. But I wanted to know, what about these performances? What is so special to you about these performances at the end of every episode? And is there a moment? I mean, you don't say too much because I don't want to give it away for people. But like, is there a moment from this season that in one of these performances that just really hit you?
For me, the final show was it for me. It was everything that a drag show should be. Mm. It had a message. It had heart. It had theater. It had drama. It had comedy. It had everything. It had culture. It had so many levels and layers and aspects of what drag is and could be, and a full representation thereof. And I just felt most proud about that particular performance. And the fact that it was in a church gave it, I felt, an additional level of power and anointing, if you will, because the emotion and adrenaline that was filling up that place, if you were not in that room, it was incredibly wild. And they were fully there for the show. So, yeah.
That's special.
I have no idea what I said, but I meant it.
No, you're so right.
What about you, Sasha?
I love that. I think that our drag daughters work so hard to prepare for their performances. You see them backstage listening to the thing. They're ready to lip sync for their lives. Anytime you go to a drag show and there's that much preparation and heart put onto the stage, like, you know, you're going to walk away trembling with excitement and emotion.
Yeah.
And we really did it. We did it to pat ourselves on the back. We did a great job that day. Like, the energy was right backstage. We were all floating around supporting each other. The show started on time.
That never happened.
There was no dead time between the numbers. It was like moving. There was dancing. So there was something, I don't even believe in God myself, but there was something spiritual.
Wasn't it, though?
Something blessed happening.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just organization. Maybe
maybe God maybe is in the details.
Shining down on us.
It's challenging Sasha's whole
I love that. I love that. That's so funny.
Oh, God.
God is in.
Live with Latrice for a month and yeah. I walk away believing in God.
But really, in this version of God, he's just like a very good planner. You know what I mean?
Yes.
God is a God.
Yes. Yes.
God is Office Depot. So I wanted, one of the things that I find, so there's a quote that RuPaul has said it many times, said it in an interview to me, said it in many different interviews because RuPaul says many of the same things. But he says drag is not mainstream and it will never be mainstream. And that is so interesting to me because RuPaul said many amazing things, but that has always stood out to me in that.
I'm trying to figure out what you mean because it's mainstream to me right now.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask both of you. I wanted to ask, do you think drag is mainstream now? Let's start with Latrice since you started.
Have you seen The Housewives of Anything? These girls are mean. Full drag beat, like daytime with lashes and contour. And baby, no woman is walking around like that for real, for real. Yeah. And they, like, this is the drag has influenced pop culture in a way that no other thing has. Mm. And so, the fact that us girls from RuPaul's Drag Race can tour the world. From a reality TV show.
That's true.
The only reality TV show in the world that people are, the contestants are touring.
Yeah.
Not even Idol.
Yeah.
Not greatest, what is the, you know, whatever, the X Factor. None of them.
Not even Selling what? Sunset.
No.
They can't even tour like us.
They can't even tour. They can't even get those. That's my whole point. Like, That's the difference.
I mean, you're so true. Like, Phaedra Parks on The Traitors, that was full-on drag.
Full-on drag.
With the fur and everything. It was amazing. What about you, Sasha? Do you think, what's your thoughts on drag being mainstream?
I mean, I kind of think drag has been mainstream many times before as well. Like, arguably, drag was once like all there was to theater. Mm-hmm. Arguably, like the essence of spirituality and religion. So I don't know what the mainstream is. It feels like the mainstream keeps trying to deny us. Yeah. Maybe we belong there, making culture alongside everyone else.
That's true. Well, I want to wrap things up with this one question because I firmly believe that even though, you know, I'm friends with many of the queens from Drag Race and we live here in LA and you see them all the time, I want people to support local drag, go to local bars, go support these kings and queens and everyone in between doing things. And from two legends of drag, I feel like it is very apropos to ask, what is a drag scene in the United States that do you think is doesn't get the attention or the love or has great drag that people don't talk about enough outside of the New Yorks and LAs and Chicago's? Like, is there a scene in the country that stands out to you? I'll start with you, Sasha.
I would shout out Tulsa. We were supported behind the scenes by a number of local drag artists from Tulsa who helped like alter costumes for us and do hairstyling and really dove in, really saved our asses at the last minute, to be honest. And then like I got to stick around a few days after, and I went to go see some of the local drag shows that they were part of, and went to this like unhinged poetry wrestling drag night in someone's backyard.
Wrestling?
That is like the peak of what I'm looking for on a for a queer night on the town. So I was pretty blown away. Wow. I was really delighted.
That's
so
wonderful.
Shout out to them.
Tulsa.
And you know, these are the artists that you're going to see on Drag Race.
Yes.
So if you live wherever you live, like go out and see.
Yeah.
These are the people who are going to be famous.
Yeah, definitely.
From your town.
What about you, Latrice?
Like I have my community of drag family that I consider family in Columbus, Ohio. And that's where Nina's from, but like Virginia West and Melissa Loud and all those girls, Holly, those queens like show me what community and sisterhood is really like. Like those are the girls that be out raising the coins and making change happen. And I've been happy to be a part of it. Did this Baton Rouge is what it is called. It's a fundraiser, and they're out there in full drag playing softball. And I have never seen anything more funnier than the queens running around in the daytime with the nappy wigs. they do the drag there in Columbus, and those are my girls.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really do appreciate it. It was such a pleasure meeting both of you.
Likewise.
Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything, and leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening. And for the latest news and podcasts, you know what to do, go to newsweek.com and follow us on all the socials. And while you're there, subscribe to my newsletter. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.